Spain, December 31st, 1979. We started on Bars and Rolls in the last tape, but I thought we'd go back a little bit to the point when your father told you you had to leave town. At that point, did you talk about that with anyone?
No. Absolutely no one.
Did you have gay friends at that time?
Not friends, no. I had a girl that used to come around a lot, a young butch. I was about 18, just going on 19, and she was about 16 going on 17. You know, one of those little kids that know what you are and they hang around here a lot, mm-hmm. You know? They're not old enough to go to bars and stuff. But we never talked about it much. I went downtown. I was always a loner. I never had any friends. I was only here a year. I'd just come from Pittsburgh. After I graduated, I moved back to Buffalo. And I was just starting to go to the Mardi Gras in the Chesterfield, trying to get to know people, but I wasn't really friends with anyone. And Marty introduced me to a girl named Barbara.
Who's Marty?
Marty is this little kid that used to hang around the neighborhood, the one I told you used to chase me around. Well, she introduced me to a girl she liked named Barbara. The girl was only, she was only 17. She was going to night school. She was a sheriff's daughter, a deputy sheriff of Buffalo. It was his daughter. Marty liked her a lot, but the girl was straight. For about 2 months, I hung around with the girl. I used to walk her home from school, you know, meet her at the bus, walk her home and talk to her. I was trying to make her, I guess. I really liked her a lot. And in the process of 2 months, she told me she had a boyfriend. Not long after we met, she discovered she was pregnant. And she thought her father would kill her if he ever found out. And I really felt sorry for the kid. I'd like to help her. In the meantime, my old man had waked me that morning and said, you know, he just told me to leave town. That was it. So I figured, you know, we'll kill two birds with one stone. I'd run away with Barbara. She had to run away from home anyway because her old man would kill her. And this would get her with me. I mean, I just didn't think ahead to a baby or anything like that. So I came home from work on a Friday. My sister was at work. I used to watch her kids for her. I got the girl downstairs to watch her kids. I said I had to go. Barbara was all packed. We had talked about it, planned it ahead of time. I got my money out of the bank. I bought a pair of pants, a shirt, a suit jacket, a pair of shoes. I had a suitcase. I had a lot of t-shirts and dungarees and stuff.
Was that men's clothes you bought?
Yeah. I went to the corner barbershop and I got a haircut. Real white walls. All the way up. Sideburns, the whole works. So I went home, I changed my clothes, I called Barbara, I said, meet me. She met me, it was about 4:30. Another girl went with us, a girlfriend of hers. I don't even remember her name. She was a real short subject during the whole thing. We went downtown, got on a train, and we were headed south. And that was it. We ended up in New Orleans, in Louisiana. We got off there, I only had like $150, $200. I think the girl's name was Sally. I had a couple old friends whose identification I knew they'd never be using it for various reasons. They either had a lot of money and wouldn't have to work, or, you know, they just wouldn't be using it.
These are friends from what era?
These are friends from that I grew up with, kids I went to school with, and I knew that they had a lot of dough and they wouldn't be working, so they wouldn't need social security cards and names and stuff like that. It would never be checked out. So I asked them if I could have their social security card and a birth certificate and stuff like that, so they got me duplicates, and both the girls had identification so they could work. So Sally got herself a job, and Barbara got herself a job. And I just footed around New Orleans trying to find out what I could do about me, because I had changed my name. Well, up to that point, I hadn't decided what I was going to use, but I knew I was changing it. So I finally got a lead on getting myself a set of identification. And I also had to change my age. You have to be 21 in Louisiana. So I got myself an identification. Made me 21 years old, and I had a Social Security card. I got a job as a busboy in the Court of the Two Sisters.
As do they think you were a man or a woman?
From the day I got on that train, from then on, I went as a man.
You're kidding.
No one knew.
Oh my God.
I passed as her husband. We lived in New Orleans for about 3 or 4 months. And one day she called home because she was sick and the doctor bills were getting higher. I knew she had to see a doctor. I knew she had to have something done. But I didn't have any money. I mean, between our rent and she was sick all the time, it was hard. So she called home. I called home, not her. She was afraid to call home. I called home. I called my sister back here in Buffalo. And I asked her if she could send me some money. She said, "Where are you?" She said, "Do you know the police are looking for you?" And I said, "The police? For what?" She said, "Do you know that that girl you took with you is only 16 years old? I says, "What girl?" She says, "That Barbara." She said, "Do you know who she is?" And I said, "Yeah, I know who she is." She said, "Well, if her father finds you before the FBI does," she says, "he'll kill you." She said, "They got a 13 state alarm out for you."
How do you think he knew that she was with you?
Because her family and my family are good friends.
Oh.
So, and he knew who I was.
Mm-hmm.
He knows my old man. His sister hangs around with my aunts. Mm-hmm. I mean, they knew we were seeing each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, "Look, you better forget the money." She says, "Tell me where you are, I'll send it." And I said, "No, I was afraid to tell her where I was because I know she'd tell my father and he sent his hoodlums out there to get us and bring us back before this guy killed me. I don't want to come back. I wasn't about to give up this girl. I'd give a shit if I had to die for her."
Were you sleeping with her?
Well, no, not right away. I was in love with her.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the first time in my life I'd ever been in love with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Until I met Ray, I thought the last real time. But I guess love when you're growing up and love when you're 18 years old is a hell of a lot different. It's much mm-hmm. more romantic then, let me tell you. Much more. So I hung up and I said, "Shit, that's not going to work out." So what had happened is in the meantime I had picked up with this butch that got in trouble in a bar one night for rolling a guy. I guess butches all over the world have to make their money that way. They're either hustling their women or rolling their boyfriends.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she got away. The guy pressed her. He called the police or whatever. Anyway, since we hung around together, they broke into my apartment. They arrested me. I was home in bed. I didn't know a damn thing about it. So they arrested me, and they arrested two other people I knew. And
they were butches? Two butches?
One was a butch. The other one was a hooker.
Mm-hmm.
So,
But neither of them were the woman who did it.
No. So they threw us in jail. And then to boot, when it come time to press charges, the asshole who got rolls got arrested for drunk and disorderly. He got thrown in jail. So that was an experience. He couldn't sign because he was in jail. He couldn't press charges. So they had to let us go, but they held us on what they called 72-hour investigation. And believe me, I sweated my ass off those 2 days. I knew they fingerprinted me, they mugged me. And I knew I didn't have a police record, but I knew if they'd sent it out,
mm-hmm.
that the FBI, I knew the FBI was looking for this kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure by then they had some identification on me. All I knew is I had to get out of there. I had to get out of there. I had to get her to hell out of the, you know, mm. the city.
So they had booked you on your real name, right?
No, they booked me on the name I was using.
But that was a man.
So what? No, they knew I was a girl there. See, you can't tell by the name Lee.
Oh,
who, what
I
belongs
see.
To what.
I see.
See?
Uh-huh.
I mean, Lee, I'm still getting
mm-hmm.
Mr. Lee.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still getting envelopes addressed to Mr. Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, luckily, the girl, the buddy, the butch, that I was thrown in jail with, I got to know her rather well. The 2 days we spent in jail, and I told her why I was so upset and nervous. I said I had to get out of town. excuse me, her father was a lawyer. He came down and got us out before the 72 hours was up.
Oh, she wasn't from New Orleans either?
No. Mm-hmm. No.
And what was she doing in town?
They just did a whole raid of every butch they could find until they found the one that rolled this guy.
Oh, so I see.
She happened to be out drinking with his hooker.
And you didn't really know her before then?
No, I didn't really know her.
Mm-hmm.
So she come from Baltimore, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
So her father come down and got us the hell out, or he sent somebody down. I didn't even know how it happened. All I know is we got out. It's hell of an experience. First time I've ever been in a lineup in my life.
What happened?
It's real weird. They march in, everybody who looks alike, guys, girls, you know, anything. They just line you up. You're standing there. You can't tell what's out there because all you see are these blinding lights while you're standing there. And they tell you, hey, number three, you know, stand up straight, turn sideways, stuff like that. So all you could hear is the sound of the men's voices out in the audience. Like this stuff they show you on television is bullshit. It's real bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Those motherfuckers are sick.
Mm-hmm.
They are sick. Like, there must have been about, from what I could gather, I heard about four or five different voices.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all making cracks. Like, there were about three or four hookers, and there was me and another butch and someone else. And, I mean, they made cracks like men will make. Like, maybe we ought to take that one since she wants to be a hooker, you know. Look at that whore over there. We ought to take her back in the cell. And
the police?
Yeah, the police were just terrible. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was bad experience in that place. But a lot of stuff went on. I met a guy who was in love with his roommate. They had lived together something like 50 years.
50?
50 years. The guy was about 75 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And his friend was in his 70s. And he had killed him and eaten his guts with a spoon. He ate his intestines when they found him. The dead guy had no intestines left. They asked him what he did with them. He ate them to get rid of the evidence. He was off the wall. He was really off the wall. There was these two girls that were in jail.
Yeah.
And I got to know the turnkey real well.
What's the turnkey? The
turnkey is the guy who lets you in and out when you're going to, you know, got to go to the guard.
Yeah.
He's a guard. Mm-hmm. So I asked him what all different people were in jail for, and he told me the two girls over in a cell. All I could hear was their voices, and I could hear the cops. I could see them. They'd go over every so often, and, you know, one of them would say, hey, baby, you want to fuck, and here, you want this, and shit like that. And I was wondering why they were hassling the hell out of these two girls, and they were nasty.
Mm.
They were nasty. Here they had trained a dog. They had trained a dog to have sex with them, and, you know, for years they had this dog. This dog used to fuck them all the time. I don't know how they got arrested for it, but they got arrested for it, and the cops just thought that was hilarious, you know. Like, this one cop went over to one of them once, and he said, Jesus, he says, I could do something for you. You don't need a dog. And she said something to the effect of, she says, it's people like you who make us turn to dogs, which I thought was a beautiful line.
Right.
But the thing is, they beat the shit out of her for it.
They're were nasty. They gay?
They're nasty. No, the girls? No, they just like dogs.
Oh.
If they were gay, they wouldn't have to train this boxer. You know, they didn't know the alternatives. So, I spent 2 days in there anyway. In 2 days, I really got the dope of the place. It was scary then. I laugh at it now, but it's really an experience at 19 years old to have, you know, two dog trainers on one side of you and a guy who eats guts for dinner on the other side, and, you know, not knowing what's going to happen to you. There was no one I could go to. There's no one I could go to help. Everybody was looking for me.
Did the police, do you think you got special treatment, like treated especially bad or something because they knew you were gay?
No, I got treated especially good.
How come?
Because they're rough on a lot of dykes, especially in New Orleans. For one thing, you don't even have to be queer. They hate white trash. They hate Northerners. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got treated good because I could win over people, you know. And I always manage to win over the guards whenever I'm in jail. I always manage to make a friend that'll, you know, mm-hmm. a cop or a guard or something that'll help me out.
Did you have to be searched?
Yep.
Did they do this to find out whether you were a man or a woman? Or they
No,
knew
they
you
did
woman?
It to find out if you had drugs on you or if you were sneaking anything in. They knew when they hit me, they had known by then. See, after I was passing as a guy in my job and where I live, but the cops know everything that goes on in a place like New Orleans. I was hanging around a gay bar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was hanging around with other butches that looked just like me, mm-hmm. you know. In a man's world, I would pass as a man. But, you know, you put an apple next to an apple and you'll know what it is immediately.
It's an orange.
Right. There's no way you're going to call it an orange. Yeah.
Well, can we talk about this passing for a minute? How, when you said from the moment, it sounds like you prepared yourself to pass, right?
No, well, see, I always look like a boy. I never look like I do now.
Mm-hmm.
I always had short hair outside of my graduation pictures. I always had short hair and sideburns. I always wore leather motorcycle jackets, and I always looked like a boy.
How did you decide to do this deliberately?
How did I decide? It wasn't done deliberately. I always look like that. See, I always look like that. The only thing that I changed at all was I bought new clothes to leave town in.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like up to this point, people took you for a man, but
right.
that you didn't deliberately try and pass as a man, but that at this point, that changed? Is that right? That you made, it was a conscious effort?
I made
effort.
Sure, right. It was a conscious effort. I wore a binder. That was the only difference.
What's a binder?
It fits right around here to hold you flat so you look muscle-bound.
Does it hurt?
No. It's very comfortable.
Oh, yeah?
At first, you get the feeling you're wearing a strapless bra. Because you're always going like this. You just have a funny feeling if you laugh or breathe, the thing's going to fall down. But women wear them after they have babies to drive their milk. It's a prop that's just totally flat where it holds you.
And where do you buy them in any woman's lingerie?
You could either buy them or you make them.
Oh.